this. I have some thoughts, some half-baked ideas on the parasha, something really more to think about than some concrete ideas. Let's see what we can come up with. Okay, so Parashas Vayigash is the most emotional parasha of the Torah. You have to give it 54 parashas. Every word, every parasha, it's really a nice challenge to give it the right word. Like, you know, the yearbook, the olden days, when they used to have yearbooks, so they would write a pasuk for every student. They would write a pasuk, they would say, it would be an English expression, an idiom, they would write it. They have a whole collection of things that you use to define people. It would be very interesting, though, for each of the 54 parashas to give each parasha one word. One word that brings out. What would you write? What would you say about Vayigash? There are many candidates. Vayigash is so.
I've seen the word poignant.
Poignant. Ooh, okay. That's a good observation. Interesting approach. I would say emotion. Emotion. There is more emotion in Parashas Vayigash than the whole Torah put together. Okay, when Ani Yosef Ha'oyro Vichai.
Could he possibly be still alive after all
of this? And of the brothers were in shock. They were embarrassed. Al Tigzu Baderech, Yaakov Avinu comes to greet his son. Rabbi Seinu Omer, he was saying, Kriyashma. I mean, there's so much going on. The emotion. He comes to Paro. How old are you? Ma'at Veroim. He talks about his difficult life. There's an enormous, enormous amount of emotion. Yosef is crying, his brothers are crying, Binyamin is crying, Yaakov is crying. It's an emotionally charged parasha. There is no parasha in the Torah like parasha Vayigash. It really is head and shoulders above many other parashas in terms of human emotion. Every parasha has a unique contribution to the human psyche. But Parashas Vayigash, when we deal with something which touches every person of emotion, this is your parasha, he's your man. Vayigash is your the place to go. Parasha begins with Musar. And this Musar, it's really, really, really remarkable. If we read the Pesukim very carefully, Yehuda is on point. Yehuda's insight into human psychology, into the essence of man, is remarkable. There's no one that knew how to give Musar than Yehuda, and there was no one that knew how to counteract, to counter Musar with even more Musar than Yosef. It's remarkable if we read very carefully what's being taught over here. First thing is, Vayigash lov Yehuda vayomer, and he says, Bi Adoini, please my master, Yidaber no avdecha dovor, Be'oznei, in the ears, Adoni. Now, nothing in the Torah is superfluous, nothing is extra. Everything over here is written with precision. Everything here is limud. And Rashi, more often than not, picks up on details that we would never even think of focusing on. And Rashi says, what does it mean here, dovar, a matter, a word, be'oznei, in the ears of my master? I mean, Rashi basically is asking the question that it's obvious. I'm speaking to you. If I'm speaking to you, obviously, the way the human being works is that the ear waves that come out of my vocal cords are going to go into your ears and you're going to listen. There's no need for the pasuk to say, Yidaber ner dovar, Yidaber no avdecha dovar be'oznei Adoni. What? We're brainwashed from childhood. The pasuk should say, Yidaber no avdecha dovar. I want to say something. Will you please listen? Can you imagine if you go and you meet with the President of the United States and you say, Mr. President, I want to say something. I want you to use your ears to listen to what I have to say. I'll throw you out of the office. I should use my nose to listen to what you have to say. You should use my eyes. I should use my ears. This pasuk, Mr. President, I have something to say to you. I want you to use your ears. You have those things, Mr. But you have ears.
Well,
you have them.
He wanted to whisper. I mean, tell them.
Oh, that's what the Sif Sechacham, the Balaturim says.
Right.
So, but everyone is intrigued. Everyone is taken aback when you really learn Chumash and you really read, you translate the words in English. This is super bizarre. Of why in the world would a person say to his fellow man, "I want to say something to you, and I would like that you should listen." With your ears. It's super obvious. It's super obvious to say your ear. So obviously, Yosef, Yehuda, was saying something more than just the obvious. What was he saying? So this opens up a whole collection of possibilities. And they're all correct. Ayin, panim, l'Torah. I want to focus on one. Rabbi mentioned one about whispering, about talking out loud. I want to focus on one Rashi says. Rashi says, Yikonsu divarai be'oznecha. May my words enter. Rashi really adds just one word. Yikonsu. The words should penetrate. In other words,
listen with intent.
Exactly. Haskeis ushma Yisrael. Pay attention. Basically, when he says the words, the Ozne Adoni, he's saying to him, pay attention. Don't just look at your smartphone when I'm talking to you. Don't have another conversation with someone else. Pay attention.
Is that threatening him?
No, not necessarily. Okay, many bad, but I want to. We don't need to go there. Pay attention. This is the ultimate mussar. This is the ultimate mussar. You tell the person what he's basically saying to him. I want to show you. He's basically telling Yosef. He's not even. The subject matter is not even relevant. The subject matter is you stole our brother. You're torturing our father. You stole our brother. V'chulu. If you read the Pesukim carefully, he's not even discussing the subject matter, the current events. He's basically telling him, you're not a mensch. You're not a person. Yehuda is very clever in his attack on Yosef. He's not saying, you want to talk legalities? Whatever argument you make, I can counter-argue 100 arguments, pum fakir. Do many Gedolei Yisrael, they say that they're a Rav Shragham Mendelovich. Who's once talking to the Satmar Rav about the Medinas Yisrael. And the Satmar Rav let him have it. He let him have it. He's varfing Mamori Chazal, 100 Mamori Chazal a second. And later, and he didn't say a word of Shagha Halman Lodge. And later, Shagha Halman just said, yes, why did he say a word? So he said he was very passionate, he was very emotional, so it's not the time to respond. But his arguments, for every Maimar Chazal that he said to me, I could have said back to him 10 Maimar Chazal Pum Faket. So you want to talk about legal arguments, you'll say like this, I'll say like this. If Yehuda is going to come to Yosef and say, you know, what you've done is a crime, it's against the law, you have committed illegal activity by taking our brother, and we have here the best lawyers. I'll take you to the international court. Yosef will say, listen, my lawyers are a lot smarter, a lot more brilliant. Any legal argument you're gonna put against me, I'll slug it up and I'll give you 10 reasons why I'm right and you're wrong. So there's no purpose, there's no success, nothing is gonna be gained by arguing about legalities. It's just not gonna work. You're not gonna win. You're not going to win by saying it's illegal. You said this and you did this. Whatever you'll say, I'll fadre it my way. You'll fadre it your way. What then is Yehuda coming to do to succeed? He's coming to say, Yosef, you have a reputation as being a mensch. This is clear in the Pesukim. Es ha'olokim ani yore. Going back, how did you get to this position of authority? Because you were the dream interpreter. You took an interest in the poor, the Sar HaMashkin, you took care of the people in the Beis HaSoyar. He was an Ish Matzliach. Vayitein Chino Yosef was a person who had chen. The whole Mitzrayim, they came to stand on top of the wall, the Benois Alei Shur. Yosef was a person that was Molei Chen. He was a mensch. He was a good Baal Midos. He was a human being. He was the perfection of humanity. And it was for this that he was respected and beloved in Egypt. Now he's in a legal battle. He's in a legal battle. You want to go argue legal law, torts? You want to argue whatever you want to call it? You want to go fight with me over the different issues? Yehuda's not going to win. They have much better lawyers in Egypt. Yehuda is attacking Yosef. Yosef, you're just not a mensch. You're not a mensch. Let me tell you the definition of what it means to be a mensch. Number one, a human being is a person who listens. You know, in they train people in the business world. You know, everyone knows this. The rule is 80-20. You ever hear this rule? 80-20. 80% listening, 20% speaking. When you deal with other people, be from the person who is listening. Everything is in the art of listening. Listen to what the other person has to say. Give them your full attention. And 20% of the time, say your that's what should be in the conversation. The one who listens 80%, who speaks 20%, will always win, will always prevail. He will always get his point across. That's proven. Boduk uminuse. Yosef, you're not a listener. You don't listen. He's attacking his moral standing. Yidaber no avdecha be'ozne, yidaber be'ozne. Yikonsu devarai be'oznecha. You're not a mensch, you don't listen. The next thing he says to him is, you're a liar. You're koyach hadibor, you're an abuser, you have abused the koyach hadibor. Rashi says, ki chomoicha kifaro, you're just like Paro. Choshev ata be'enai kamelech zepshutai umidrashai. You're going to get tzaras because tzaras comes to a person who's nichshol in the koyach hadibur. Okay, it goes further. I guess we'll even go a little further. Dover acher. Here's the point I want to make. Ma paroi gozer ve'enoi mekayin. Maftiach, you promise ve'enoi oise. He doesn't fulfill his campaign promises. Af atokain, Paro has nothing to do with the brothers, Binyamin, and the grain. Paro is not in the picture. But he's saying, you're just like Paro. You're a liar. You're a liar. Your word is not a word. Forget about what we're discussing, the subject matter. I'm not discussing legalities. You're just a liar. A human being, the gift of being a human being is the koyach hadibor vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Targum. Vayihodim leruach lenefesh chaya, a nefesh chaya. Rashi, the targum, leruach min malo, a creature who has the gift of speech. With speech comes the responsibility, achrayis, to say the truth. You're not a mensch. You don't listen. You don't know, your word is not a word. And then he pulls out the ultimate trump card and he says to him, you're not a Yorei Shemayim. Your hallmark in Egypt is, Esher Elokim Ani Yorei, over and over. When he's taken down and he interprets the dreams, Ashamati, I heard about you that you know how to take dreams and interpret them. No. Esher Elokim Ani Yorei. It's not me. Elokim Yancho, Hashem will give you the answer. I'm just over here, a pawn in Hashem's hands. Eshes Potiphar, how could I sin Elokim? The whole legacy, his whole defense, he told her, everyone knew the truth. I'm going to go sin. This is an Eshes Ish. Even though there's no one watching, how could I sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? His legacy was built upon the principle that he was a Yorei Shamayim. Es Elokim Ani Yorei. When Avram went down to Avimelech, the second time, not Paro, Avimelech then, he abducted Sarah, and then he questioned Avram, why did you lie to me? So Avram said to him, Rach ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. There's no Yiras Shamayim in this place. You know why there's no Yiras Shamayim in this place? Because the first thing you ask a person when they come to town is, do you have what to eat? Do you have a place to sleep? The first thing you ask is, who's this pretty girl here? If that's the first question, who's this pretty girl here? That means Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. Rashi on this pasuk, he says next words of Rashi: Adoni Shoal, we come here to Egypt, and you say to me, Es avodav. Rashi mitchilo balilo boho solenu. All of the questions point to one thing only. Bitcha hayinu mevakshim? You want to marry our daughter? Every question you ask is straight off a questionnaire, a shatran's questionnaire. You go to a shatran, they want to know your profile. They have a list of questions. This is Rashi, I'm not making this up. Oh, achoseinu atam mevakesh. So Rashi's words. Every question that you asked us was taken out of the playbook of the typical shatran. You have a father, you have a mother. What does he do for a living? The grandparents, the chul of the yichos, the god. Obviously, you saw us. You saw something in us that you want to marry our sister. We must have a good-looking sister if we're such fine, good-looking people. Giborim, we must have a good-looking daughter, a good-looking sister that you want to take in marriage. That's all you want. Ach nesach shabolir. The first thing, mitchila, Rabbi, the first thing we do when we come to this mitchila, ba'alila ba'asaleinu, lama ha'yilishol kolela. What are all these questions? Bitcha ha'inu mevakshim. Do we want to marry bitcha? Do we want to marry your daughter? Or do you want to marry our sister? In other words, Rak en yiras Elokim b'makoyim hazeh. This parallels perfectly, exactly what happened, what Avram Avinu said to Avimelech. It's a beautiful country here. Everything is wonderful. I've never seen a place like this. There's only one thing missing in this place. One thing. Yiras Shemaim. Rak en yiras Elokim b'makoyim hazeh. So far, Yosef, you're not a mensch. A mensch listens. We all know that. A person, a human being, listens to what you have to say. A person has a responsibility. The koyach hadibur is to speak emes. A person is a yorei shemayim. You have none of the above. You don't give us the time of day to listen to us. You don't speak the emes. And you have no yorei shemayim. You're a fraud. And worse, you're not a person, because the worst, a person, the purpose of being a human being is to life. He says you're a murderer. You're a murderer. Don't you know that this child is the ben zukunim of an old father? We told you this 100 times, and if you're going to take him away, you're not going to let him return to his father will die. Ulakhtem gan ezeme imponai vikro son vikharatem se vsibra brosho ayla. I'm going to go into the grave. The atok kivayl out khaziva anar in any t itano nafsho ikshuv nafsho, he's going to die. The high sokilay so we redo avodef as sevas av the khavinu biogoin shayla. You will bring death to our father. You're a thug. Forget about all the legalities. Let's talk about what it means to be a human being. You don't listen, you don't say the truth, you have no Yirah Shemayim, and you're a Rotzeach. Forget about everything else. This hurt. This really was an attack on the character. The character, they do this in politics, say all the time, right? They do this in politics. When they see nothing works, when they see people, the policies and the ideas of their competitor are popular, so what's left to do? What are you going to do? Character attack. This is the first political character attack in history. He's coming to attack his character, and he's pulling out every trick he has in the book. And he's right. He's on the mark. And Yosef knows he's on the mark. You've attacked me not as a leader. You've attacked me not... You have not attacked my policies. You have not attacked my system of justice. You have attacked me as a human being. And you're right. You're right. Everything that you have said is on the mark. I'm not a mensch. I'm not a mensch. V'lo yochol Yosef lehisapek. He won. He attacked him. He could not deal with this. You live in this world, you got to be a person. He had this big plan, this grosse plan, how he's going to go, pull it off. He's going to bring his father down to Mitzrayim. V'chulu, everyone, look at all the Mefarshim. Look at all the Mefarshim, and they explain that Yosef had this grand vision of how he's going to pull this off. He's going to bring Mashiach. All these unbelievable ideas, what he's trying to do. But he was cut short. Yehuda outsmarted Yosef. How did he outsmart him? He didn't attack him in the conventional way that Yosef thought he would be attacked, he would be able to, the policies and his technique. Yosef had it covered. There were no loose ends. Nothing was missing. But he never expected that Yehuda would attack him, take on an approach to attack his character assassination, that he never planned for. He never thought that this would be an attack which I have to protect myself and guard myself. And he was left, like, you're right, what am I going to do now? When the Egyptians, they hear this Musar, the paper, they read the eloquence of Yehuda in his character assassination, I'm toast. I'm not a listener. I'm not an honest person. I have no Yir Shemayim, and I don't care about human life. I don't care about life. I'm more concerned about. I don't care about life. I don't care about people. I don't care about the consequences of my actions. That some old man is going to die in society because I'm a cruel person. I'm a cruel dictator. Yeah.
Isn't that opposed though? Person,
no, he's not. No, absolutely not. Yosef had a rebbe. I'm suggesting not. Yosef was beloved. The whole Mitzrayim loved him.
Right.
He was a beloved person. And he was acting in the best interest of the country. For the brothers, but the whole country was watching. That's very clear. The whole country. This was in the news. This was in the news every day. Everyone, what's going on? Everyone was talking about this. This is a big event in Egypt that these people came. They're spies. It was the headlines every single day, and Yosef was acting in the best interest of the country. The country was rooting on Yosef. He had the full support of the country behind him. That Yosef is our leader. We love him. He's the greatest person in this world. And he was able to figure out that there are spies coming into the country. And he very cleverly is handling the situation. His popularity was 100% because he knows how to run a country. And then, when the unexpected happened, character assassination, they didn't attack his policies, they didn't attack his technique, they didn't attack what he was trying to do, but a character assassination. And people in the editorials in the newspapers in Egypt, when the people read over the eloquence of Yehuda's character assassination, people began to think twice. Who is this guy Yosef? He was a slave. Where did he come from? He's not a good person. He really is not a good person. They were very sophisticated. We learned last year, we spent time on Egypt. What's that fancy word? The study of Egypt culture?
Egyptology.
Egyptology. So we learned there how they were an extremely sophisticated society. They were into the sciences, they studied human nature, and when he put on this character assassination attempt, it worked. It really, really worked. He was unpopular. He was unpopular. And therefore, he had no choice. V'lo yochol Yosef lehisapek. He had no choice to do what? To do the ultimate. He pulled the biggest nuke on them. You want to attack my character assassination? He brought upon them Ani Yosef Ha'oid Ovichoy. What did it result in? Ki nifhalu mipanav. What does Rashi say? Mipnei habusha. When Adam Harishon was created, this you can twist in many, many different ways. This is a very complicated topic. It's a very complicated topic. But Adam Harishon, the Torah does not tell us very much about man before the Chet Eitz Hadas. It doesn't say very much. Hashem made a human being, Vayitzer, so he put him in Gan Eden. And then it says something which requires an enormous amount of study. Vayihiyu Shenehem Arumim V'lo Yisboi Shashu. Adam and Chava were naked and they were not embarrassed. What does that mean exactly? Is that a milah? Is that a chesaron? I always like to use it as a chesaron. This is the first chet. They should have been embarrassed, because when it says they were naked, it doesn't just mean physically naked. It means they had no merits. Hashem gave them enormous blessing, and they did not earn it. They were naked from mitzvahs. You should be embarrassed. You have to earn your keep in this world. But in another respect, it's not necessarily a criticism. It's a statement of what is the product of man. Man, okay, let's put aside they were naked. The lo yisboshashu is, this is how man has to live in his life. If a person lives in a constant state of busha, I'm always embarrassed of myself, of my occupation, of my salary, of what I'm lacking, you can't go on in this world. A person has to have a shtickel gaiva. So nu I'm poor, so nu I'm naked. Nu I'm naked. In one respect, in one approach, this is defining the greatness of man. It's the only thing it says about man in creation. Hashem made him a human being. So tell us, what is the product that you've made? So it says that this person, this Rebbe Hashem, is going to get the Nobel Prize for creating a human being. Because this human being is amazing. And know what the koyach of a human being is? A human being has the ability to be naked, and yet, v'lo yisboshash. It's a milo. Because in one respect, obviously it's not a milo to walk around the street naked, we all know that. But in before creation, before Ma'aseh, before the Chet Eitz Hadas, men was talking naked. I have absolutely nothing good to say for myself. What have I accomplished in this world? Nothing. Hashem has given me everything. I'm so embarrassed. So naturally, but man says, you know what? Even though I have nothing, I'm naked, I'm a helpless person, we have to go weiter in life. We have to proceed. We have to accomplish something in this world. I'm not embarrassed. This is how Hashem made me. He made me naked. He gave me nothing. I don't have a parnasa. I'm homeless. My children are not like everyone else's children. And things are not going my way. Or I'm going to go home and lie down under the covers and cry. I'm not embarrassed. This is what Hashem wants for me. I accept it. V'lo yisboshashu. Let's go weiter. Let's go weiter. Let's see what Hashem has in store for me today. And let's accomplish something today. Even though you're naked, if Hashem made me naked, no, what could I do about it? V'lo yisboshashu. He was not embarrassed. It's a milo. Before the Chet Eitz Hadas, even after the Eitz Hadas, it's just a matter of the angle you look at it. I am Panim L'Torah. There's a very big milo, because every single person in this world is Orim. Every single person in this world has more than he deserves. And a person, or every single person has suffers. Let's say Orim means he feels he's lacking what he really needs. And you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to be embarrassed. You have to have a little self-esteem. And you have to be able to go forward. This is the mahus of man. This is the essence of man's character. Even though you're Arum, no fault of your own, not to be embarrassed. You have to go vayter. Here is the counterattack of Yosef. Yosef is pulling off a very good show here. He has support of the tzibur. He is 100% ahead in the polls. 100%. Along comes Yehuda. He pulls off the ultimate political stunt ever seen in history. Character assassination, and it works. You know why it works? Because it's true. That's why it works. It works. You're not a mensch. Don't vote for Yosef. Next election, Rabbi Isai. We are slaves, we're in prison, we're in the dungeon, but we have freedom of speech here in Egypt, and we're able to write an editorial. Don't vote for your leader, because he has bad character. And the editorials picked up on this, and they got him. He's not a mensch. So Yosef says, aha, tit for tat, I'm not a mensch. What is a mensch? What is even more fundamental about a human being? V'lo yisbashashu. He put them in their place. Ani Yosef. Ha'oira v'choy. V'lo yachu l'am esoysoy ki nifhalu mipon of Rashi. Mipnei habusha. He humiliated them to the degree they're not people anymore. You're not a mensch. You've committed such crimes where you're not even you have to have busha. That's really the point. There are times in life when Klal Yisrael is praised as being baishanim, goyim lechasadim. There's a busha that's a good busha, and then there's a busha that's a bad busha. There are two different types of busha. There's a healthy busha, and then there is a dark busha. Healthy busha is the other interpretation. V'lo yisvay shashu. They should have been embarrassed. Adam and Chava. That's the dark busha. But then two different types of busha. Here Yosef humiliated them by showing them they have committed such crimes. They're not people. They're nothing. They're nothing. And he succeeded. Ki nifhalu mipanav. They were humiliated to the degree where they were unable to go forward in life. If you can't go forward in life, you're not a person. The mile of Adam Arishon was, even though he was Aroim, v'lo yisvay shashu. You're not even a person. Because you can't go forward in life. Rightfully so. Because of your crimes are so great. Right, that was a healthy busha, but it was a healthy busha which eliminated them as human beings. You want to attack my character? I'll attack your character, and my character assassination of you is going to be so powerful, you're going to be knocked off the face of the earth. So it was tit for tat. The essence over here, the argument between Yehuda and Yosef, is not just an argument over legalities. You took the gevia and the money and the sack and the questions. It's a matter of what kind of person are you? What kind of balmides are you? What kind of mensch are you? Derech eretz kodma l'torah. They attacked his character. Yosef attacked back. You're even worse. Ani Yosef, you sell your brother. This is what you do to your father. What kind of people are you? You're telling me I don't have good midos. You're telling me I don't have Yerushalayim. You're telling me that I don't listen. Did you listen to me? Aval Hashemim Anachnu Alochinu Asher Shomanu Esoras Nafshoi B'schanu V'loy Shomanu. We didn't listen. You're the ones who didn't listen. You're the ones who lied, spoke sheker to your father, and said to your father, "Oh, Toreif Sharaf Yosef." You're the one who's killing your father. Everything that you're saying about me, you're attacking my character. I didn't listen. I'm a shakron. I have no Yerushalayim. I'm a rotzeach. You're even worse. You didn't listen to me when I cried to you when I was in the pit to save me. You didn't listen. You told your father outright lies. Toreif Toraf Yosef. You have no Yerushalayim. You do this. This is Yerushalayim. You brought Hashem into you. You put Hashem in Cheren. If Hashem says, reveals the secret, he's also in Cheren. And who's killing your father? You're the one who's the Ratzeach, not me. You want to attack my character? I'm going to attack your character. It's not about legalities. It's about being a mensch. That is the machloikis here between Yosef and Yehuda. You don't need the whole story. This is a whole different look. You'll never win in court when you're dealing with going up against institutions that have lawyers that they pay billions of dollars for. You'll always be able to fadre, azoy and azoy, that it comes out in their favor. But when you want to deal with a person, that's a whole different world. And that is, perhaps on a deeper level, what exactly the discussion here taking place in this story. Okay, now another quick vart. We have over here a very interesting balaturim. This balaturim, I think, really speaks volumes. It's a very, very short. Let me read you the words in the beginning of the parasha. Yaakov Avinu says, Yosef says to the brothers, okay, he asked them questions. Pasuk Yutes. Let me read you the pasuk inside. The second pasuk of the parasha. Adoni Shoal, you Yosef, when we came down to Egypt, you asked us, Es Avodov Leimar, Hayesh Lechem Ovayoch, do you have a father? Do you have a brother? Balaturim, why didn't Yosef ask his brothers, do you have a mother? Who's your mother? Leah, Bila, Zilpah? My mother died. Rachel already died. Do you have a mother? Why did he only ask them if you have a father or brothers? Women don't count. Women are very chashiv in the Torah. Women, they run the world. Women don't count. So the Baal HaTorim says, V'yal imam loy shoal, ki yoda shekvar mesa. Yosef knew that Bila, Zilpah, and Leah already died. How do you know? He's been away for 17 years. Does that mean they died before? Before he left 17 years ago? Maybe. Maybe does.
Otherwise, how would he know?
How does he know?
Well, he couldn't have known that the existence of his brother...
Binyamin? What do you mean?
Because she died in childbirth. So
he was alive then.
As I'm saying, he had to have known about it.
Oh, well, I'm confused. What do you mean? Yosef left 17 years ago.
You ask, how did he know? He knows because he knew he had a younger brother.
Binyamin.
And that his mother had died in childbirth.
That's his own mother. What about the mother? He's not speaking to Binyamin. He's speaking now to his ten brothers. His ten brothers do not share the same mother. Their mother was Leah, Bila, and Zilpah. Correct?
Yeah.
So he says to them, the brothers say, Adonishal, the brothers, the ten brothers say to Yosef, Yosef.
He didn't ask about anyone's mother.
He asked about their mother. He sees in front of him 10 brothers, 10 men. He says to them, tell me, is there anyone else in your home? Do you 10 people over here, do you have a father?
Right.
Do you have a brother? Yes, we have a father who's alive. We have a brother, Binyamin, a younger brother. Do you have a mother? Or... He did, right, that's the question. Why did he not ask? Why did he not say to his 10 brothers, do you have a mother? Why did he not ask about their mother? About, is Leah alive? Is Bila alive? Is Zilpah alive? Why did he not ask these 10 men in front of them, do you have a mother?
He was concerned.
So they're not his mother. Who cares?
That's right. Who cares? He doesn't care.
He doesn't care? That's not what it says.
Because he was only mainly concerned about his father because he thought that he would not have been able to survive as a result of him being taken away.
Okay, fine. But once you're playing a game, he's playing a game with his brothers. He asked them typical questions. Do you have a father? He has ulterior motive because it's my father also. Do you have a brother? He has an ulterior motive. Right?
He didn't know if he had a brother.
He didn't know. Of course he knew Binyamin was alive. Of course.
But he found out during this whole process.
No! Binyamin, of course. Yosef was sold as a slave after Binyamin was born, after his mother died. But he's not just talking to Binyamin. He's talking to the other brothers. So the Baal HaTorim is asking a simple question. If you're playing a game, you're making believe. You're making believe I don't know who you are. 10 men walk into the room. I have ulterior motives. I want to know about my father, my brother Binyamin. But you have to understand something. Who raised Binyamin? Who raised Yosef? I mean, no, Binyamin raised. That's not so. Rachel raised Yosef. Bila raised Binyamin. But Soif Kol Soif, the Targum is asking a very simple question. If you're playing the game and you're asking the basic shidduch resume questions, on the questionnaire, it says, who's your mother? What's her maiden name? Does she come from a rich family? Who's the mother? Who's the mother? The Baal HaTorim is asking a very fundamental question. The Al... Look at the Baal HaTorim says, Hayesh Lochem, do you have an Av Oyach, Val Imam, on their mother, not his mother. His mother, he knows, died. He asked their mother, Lo shol ki yoda shekvar mesa. Their mother already died.
Mesa is singular.
Singular. So you have to say it means either Leah. It means I don't know. I hear the question. Mesa shekvar mesa. It means each one has only one mother.
I would have understood that to mean his own mother.
I hear what you're saying, but then what is the imam, their mother? Rachel was not their mother. It was not their mother. Rachel was only his mother.
Yeah, but
imam,
but
their mother.
He's asking as if they had one mother. It's in the singular.
Okay, right. Okay.
Imam, he didn't ask about their mother, not about their mothers.
Maybe he noticed they don't look alike. They had to be from different mothers.
Of course.
But he didn't ask about the mother at all.
Exactly. Okay, I think the Balaturim, okay, you have to check out all the Sfam and Balaturim. It appears to me simply that he's playing a game, he's asking them the basic questions. You have a father, you have a brother. Why didn't he ask the most obvious question? Do you have a mother? Okay, that's the most obvious question. And what does he say right about it? He knew that she died. How do you know she died? So you have to say either maybe she died before he left. It's not mistaver. It's not mistaver because it's not just I don't know, maybe we don't know. It's a big mystery. We don't know. And then if Shitaka died during those 17 years, how did he know? He had CIA agents, he had special forces, he had secret satellites telling him daily reports of what's going on in Canaan and who's dying and who's living. Maybe. He knew. But he's playing a game over here. So playing a game, so you should say it anyway, even if you know what the answer is. He knew you say the answer anyway. He knew that he had a brother Benjamin. So he anyway asked the question, do you have a brother? Yeah, he knew the answer, do you have a brother? He knew. If father is alive or not, that's another question. So the answer I want to tell you is something which is a little bit strange, but I think it's really true. Let's say for argument's sake, he didn't know. He really never heard a report. When he left, he was alive. And during the 17 years, he never got a report. But you know what the truth is? And this is very true, Rabbi Isai. You look at a person, you can right away tell on their face if they have parents. You can look at a person, you can tell if they have a mother, a living mother. When you have a living mother, there's a certain, you take a certain stride, and there's an expression in English, you walk differently in life. Your steps are with a little bit more...
less depressed?
I don't say depressed. There's a certain glow. There's certain encouragement. There's no one in your life that's your biggest fan than your mother. A mother is a fan, like Facebook. Not like a Facebook fan, a make-believe fan. A real fan. The only one in this world that roots for you, who roots for you, is your cheerleader, is your mother. Even if your mother hates you, she curses you out, she never wants to see you and talk to you again, deep down in there, your mother, deep down in there, the Pintala Mama, is rooting for her sunny boy. She's rooting for her sunny boy. You look at a person, you see how they walk, what they look like. It's all over their face. I'm telling you, it's true. What? What do you say?
I never heard this.
Okay, I'm making this suggestion then, and that is the Balaturim is saying something very deep. You look at a person. The Balaturim, he asks this question, and the Balaturim gives an answer, and he says he knew their mother died.
I mean, from looking at them,
how did he know? He got a report. Doesn't tell us how he knew. The simplest answer, how he knew, is it's written all over your face.
So the father is not such a fan, only the mother?
Each one has a unique, each one, no it's not. It's not a matter of depression, it's a matter of metzias. When a person has parents, he's in a different frame of mind. You hear this all the time. I went already, a few levayas I went to over the number of years, is where older people who are mature adults, they're in their 50s, sometimes even their 60s, and their parents die, and they say, I heard this, I feel today like mamish, a baby, and I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm already 60 years old, I married grandchildren already, and now that my mother or my father dies, I feel like I'm mamish, lost in the middle of the street, middle of a desert. I don't know where to turn. It's a mitzias. I'm telling you, this is a mitzias. A healthy relationship of father, of parents to children is, as long as your parents are alive, you're in a different frame of mind. You talk differently, you think differently, you behave differently, your steps in life are different. What? No, not a spouse. No, it's different, not as a parent.
I'm right. Oh,
Shachiyonu v'kimonu v'kiyonu v'azman hazeh. Yeah?
We have the brown noses coming.
What?
They're the top of the heap. They are the elder generation. When Yaakov was alive, the door was still there. But once the parent goes, you're it. You're the top of the heap. Suddenly, there is nobody above you. You're it.
It's a whole different outlook on life.
I agree with you.
You're in a different frame of mind.
From my own perspective,
everyone is like this. I went to a Levaya this past Sunday. All of them must be them said mamish exactly that. It's like they're now in a different. These are adults. Some of them are older people. Mamish, they're in a different frame of mind. It's like that. You look at a person. You know how to look at a person. I see you walk into this room. I can tell that your mother is not alive. Because when your mother was alive 17 years ago and you walked into the room, you looked different. Your steps, your mannerism was different. There was a certain enthusiasm. It's not depression. It's just you're different people. As long as you have parents, there's someone rooting for you. And that changes your outlook. Parents, they're not here. They're not rooting for you in this world. In the next world, but not in this world. And you're on your own. There's no one that's rooting for you like a parent. Not your children, not your spouse. They root for you, but it's different. It's a different approach, and it affects you. And someone who is sensitive to these matters can pick it up in a second. You look at a person, you right away know if he has parents. Yosef was playing with the father. That was that. You can just playing with them. But the mother, I'm not going to play with the mother because that's not okay in me. It's your mother, not my mother. And also, I can see you don't have a mother. I just look at you, I see you. I can see in your face that you don't have a mother. It's a mitzias. If you have the sensitivity to this, you'll be able to see it on someone else's face. In the way they conduct, the way they walk. It's a chiddush, I'm telling you. I know it's a chiddush, but I believe it to be true. I heard this by the way people talk by Levayas, and it's true. It's definitely true. Yosef was a sophisticated person. He was able to pick this up just by giving one look at them. Okay, next one. I want to run out of time. I want to tell you one word. Another word, we'll tell you two more verses if we have time quickly. Yosef finally meets one of the emotional encounters in the Torah is when Yosef, after 22 years away from his father, when I say 17, it's 22 years. 22 years, not 17 years. I told you before, he was away for 22 years. He hasn't seen his brothers for 22 years. It could be the mother died. What happened over 22 years? Who knows? But now he finally meets his father after 22 years. The Pasuk says it was an emotional encounter. Yosef, he falls on his father and he cries bitter, bitter tears. And the Torah doesn't tell us anything about Yaakov Avinu. Let me go to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when they meet, okay, let's run to the videotape. Here we go. Okay, for a little bit further. Parasha. Mem Zayin, Vayavo Yosef, Vayagel Lefaro, Vayomer. No, that was a little bit before that. Okay. V'yeshu Shalach Lefanav. Here it is. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayeso Yosef Mer Kavtoi, Vayal Likras Yisraeloviv Goishna, Vayero Elov, Vayipolat Savarov. Yosef, he falls on the neck of Yaakov, Vayevk Al Savarov Oit. Vayomer Yisrael, Yisrael says, El Yosef, Omuso HaPoam. Okay. Achrei Reisi Espanechav Ki Oit Chochoi. Why doesn't it tell us about Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu, how did he react when he saw us after 22 years? So what is Rashi? This is the famous Rashi. Rashi Pasachav Tes. You can't escape this Rashi. This Rashi will haunt you and chase after you forever and ever. Vayevch Al Tzavarov Od. Lashon Harbos Bechiya, go further. Avol Yaakov loy nofal al tzavre Yosef loy noshkoi. It doesn't say that Yaakov fell on the neck of Yosef and didn't kiss him. Now Yaakov said, what does it mean that he did not do so? Or the Torah doesn't tell you that he did so. Pashto says he did not. He did not do so. Is that really what Rashi means? Rashi just means that the Torah did not say it. I don't know. Let's see. Now comes the point I want to pick up on. The Omru Rabbi Seinu. Our teachers have said, Shehoyo Koyre Es Shema. At this moment in time, Yaakov had nothing better to do than to say Kriya Shema. Okay, say Kriya Shema. He hasn't seen the son in 22 years. And now, from all moments in time, he's saying Kriya Shema. He didn't say Kriya Shema before. Mstam, this was not Zman Kriya Shema. This is Mstam, like 10 o'clock in the afternoon. 10 o'clock was later. Maybe it was in the afternoon. What? Now he's saying Kriya Shema. Your son, Yosef, 22 years. I know all the answers. All the answers, all the Tifa answers, the Hasidic answers, the Litvish answers, the modern answers, is channeling his love for Yosef to Shema. These are very esoteric answers. All the answers they've taught us throughout the years to Fataych, why he was saying Kriya Shema. He took this moment of love and he gave it to Hashem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know, you don't do that, Rabbi Yisrael. It's a very nice thing to do. But that's, you know, the Torah is talking with normal people. This Rashi is a very dangerous Rashi, because this Rashi, you know, almost, if you take the Rashi out of context, it gives you a license to behave in a crazy way. It's really what it does. What? This is not normal. Okay, you go, you can imagine you go and your parents send you away for 3 years to learn Eretz Yisrael, okay, and they don't have any money, and they send you away, and then you finally come home to your parents, and they cog you, and they agree, and you sing, Shema Yisrael Shema, it's Meshuggah, Mamash Meshuggah. Okay, so obviously...
Could he have some Taina on Yosef?
Oh, you're giving answers. You're giving answers. I know, there are a lot of it. I just told you one answer, you have Taina, this, that, there are 100 answers. But there's a time and place for everything. A normal person in this situation would hug, and kiss, and cry over his son. He has not seen for 22 years until he was dead. All of the Taina, the complaints, and the Musar, and the channeling of Ahav and Kedusha, every single answer you're going to show me, I agree with. I'm not, but it's not the time. The question is still better than the answer. This is not normal behavior. The Torah does not advocate crazy behavior. The most important thing is to be a normal human being. After you're a normal human being, then secretly you can be all, you can follow all these esoteric and high techniques. What is going on over here? We're going to answer this question with another question. The whole Perush of Rashi is all based on the Omru Rabbi Seinu. Why is it that Rashi, I want to type into the computer, I don't have time, it says the Omru Rabbi Seinu Shehoyu Kori Yesh Shema. Let him just say, V'hoyu Kori Yesh Shema. Every single Rashi you can say, the Omru Rabbi Seinu, this is what the Pasuk means. The Omru Rabbi Seinu, and this is what the Pasuk means. And this will. All of a sudden, Rashi has to say over here, the Omru Rabbi Seinu, as if everything else is not from Rabbi Seinu. My, what's going on over here? So the answer I want to suggest is based on a simple Yisoy that I read about a person who grew up with the Chofetz Chaim. It was a person living in Flatbush. I don't know if he passed away or not. And he knew the Chofetz Chaim. He was in his company. And his grandchildren, who were learning a typical yeshiva, where the Chofetz Chaim is worshipped mamish, like the Ribbono Shel Olam, Baruch Hashem, that's the way it should be. He heard that his Zayda, knew the Chofetz Chaim. He learned in Radim, he saw him, he spoke to him every day, he was there, and his mamish is mechitzos. They come running to the Zayda. Zaydi, you saw Chofetz Chaim, you talked to him, you learned there, you knew him. Tell us, what was it like? Were you able to come within his Dalai Lama's and not get burnt? When the birds flew over him, were they burnt? Was his face glowing with the, he wore a masna like Moshe Rabbeinu because people would get burnt? when he walked around, was there thunder and lightning? Tell us, what was it like? So he said to them the following, and this is a yesoid in life, and it's to me it resonates, it's awesome. So he said, let me tell you, if you did not know that he was the Chofetz Chaim, you see this person walking in the street, sitting on a bench, you wouldn't give him a second look. You would say he's just an ordinary person walking down the block, like anyone else. Does he know Chumash? Maybe he knows the Chipsukim of Chumash. Does he know some Mishnayos? Maybe. Does he talk Lashon Hara? Of course, like everyone else. Gossip, you know, no different than me and you. If you saw him and you did not know he was the Chofetz Chaim, you wouldn't give him a second look. You would never, ever know. He was the most normal, this is what the person told his grandchildren, the most normal, simple, average Joe on the street. But when you found out who he was and you looked at him again, you would notice every single movement he made was mole kedusha v'tahara, was calculated, was filled with yirah shemayim. Yeah, that's the koyach. You have to know who you're looking at. You look at him, you know who this person is, and now look again. Did you notice he picked up his left hand, not his right hand? Did you notice that when he bought his jacket, it was like this? Did you notice that he said this and not that? Did you notice how he walked? It's a whole different. I'll tell you a very quick story. Someone, when he went, I read this in a book, I don't remember who this was. It was a big, big Choshuva Rebbe, Kfir Tish, for hundreds of people in Eretz Yisrael. And there was an American, there was a very Choshuva Talmud Chacham, came from America to visit his Rebbe, nothing to do with this big Rebbe. And he was in the same neighborhood. So the Rebbe, the Litvish Rebbe, whatever, I think it was a Litvish, he says, they were talking, I want to go to that and see the Tish by this Groyser Rebbe. I want to go see the Tish. So the Litvish is gesunde, go and come back and tell me what you saw. So he goes to the Tish, he sits there in the back, like a nobody, and there are hundreds of Hasidim dancing around, singing Torah, Gansamais, and this is a very holy person, who is the Rebbe. Very nice, he comes back, he says to his Litvish Rebbe, I saw something there that I'm telling you, I you don't want to be about Gaiva, but I don't think any of the Hasidim saw this, but I saw this. They're all sitting around him for hours every Shabbos. I saw something that they did not see. Me, the American who came from Eretz Yisrael, and I'm trained under you. So the Rebbe said, what did you see? Could be just even the Chazon Nish was the Rebbe, something like that caliber. What did you see? I saw that when he ate soup, when he was eating soup, he took a spoon, put it into the bowl, and he took a sip, and then he put the spoon down on the table. And then, when he took the second sip, he picked up the spoon again, picked up the soup, put it into his mouth, and put the spoon down on the table. And then the third, he didn't do like everyone else. He just keep on shoveling it in. After every shovel, put it down. And then he picked it up. I noticed this. I don't believe any of the Hasidim noticed this. But I noticed this. And he said, what does it mean to you? It means he's a Baal Musar. He's in control of himself. Every time he puts food in his mouth, it shouldn't be taiva. Shovel the food in. Everything you do is calculated with a cheshbon. He was a Baal Musar. This Rebbe is a Baal Musar. He takes some soup, put it down. Because I'm not taking another sip because I'm just a Baal Taiva by rote. Everything you do, it's a Musar. So the person had tremendous hana, mamash or pikeach. Your pikeach to take notice that. Only a person who is himself a Baal Musar could pick up on this. Can pick up on the godless of this Rebbe, how he did that. Everyone else, hey, went to the Tish. The Rebbe ate soup. The Rebbe ate fish. What did you see? I saw nothing. He ate the soup like I ate the soup. Because you're not a Baal Musar. So it means nothing to you. So you didn't even notice this. If you wouldn't know, you wouldn't know who he was. When you know who he is, if we would play the videotape of Yaakov Avinu greeting Yosef, I'm suggesting, I don't know to what degree I'm saying it's correct, but there is truth to what I'm saying. If we would have the videotape of Yaakov Avinu greeting Yosef, Yosef, he falls on his face and he cries. You know what we would see? Yaakov Avinu would be also crying bitterly, hugging and kissing his son that he didn't see for 22 years. That is what we would see if we were there. Because Yaakov Avinu was the most normal person in the entire world. He was more normal, more down to earth than any person. What does a father do when you don't see your son for 22 years? He kisses and hugs his son. You got to be not normal not to do that. How come the Pasuk didn't say it? The Pasuk doesn't record every little detail. Pasuk tells you what color shirt he was wearing. What Yaakov looked like. He had a beard, a strimal. Doesn't say every detail. Has to go tell us that he kissed and hugged his son. It's obvious a father's going to kiss and hug his son.
It says Yosef.
So it says Yosef did it. Torah has cheshbonos. Along come. V'rabbeinu amru. You would never see this. In addition to doing what a normal father does, you would, the average Joe would never ever pick this up. Because he was a normal guy. A normal guy. He didn't do anything strange that was out of ordinary. But when you know who you're dealing with, every little maisa is mole kedusha. It was only the Rabbeinu who had the sensitivity to look deeper and deeper and see things that no one else sees. That does not contradict normal behavior. Rabbeinu amru. They saw something else. They were able to look in these psukim and see secrets in this pasuk. Why it only says Yosef and not Yaakov? It doesn't mean Yosef, but Yaakov, no, I'm not going to touch and kiss you. You're contaminated. You're a Russia, you're this, you're that. All these, I'm channeling, come on. This is the problem that we live in this world. We become meshugayim, doing crazy. Be normal first. Be normal first. This is not a license to be meshuga. People who are on a different madrega, they see things the average Joe doesn't see. It doesn't mean that he didn't do what's normal. Rashi Shtelzach, the rabbi, say to him. All right, out of time. Have a wonderful Shabbos.